Welcome to Bridgepoint. Can we put our hands together for how amazing all of our campuses are? Clearwater, welcome. Seminole, welcome. Downtown, you know I love you. And Tyrone, welcome. It's so good to be here. My name is Trevor Lovinggood, and it's really just my honor to simply be the downtown campus pastor. But I get to be here in this space today to share with you something that's really amazing. It's been on my heart for a little bit now. And I love home alone. But I was not a kid that you could leave home alone, or it would usually probably end up with sirens at the end of the night. So I get this. It's crazy. Home alone, all right? Are you a person that can be left home alone? I'm still not. So there we go. I think that the craziness that movie portrays is really kind of cool. Let's highlight a few of the things, okay? So the house ends up a wreck. The mom on the plane completely freaks out after she's left, and everything gets so chaotic and so crazy after she realizes what had happened. And I think if maybe we're not careful, we may get to a place this Christmas, sure, this Christmas, but really just in life where we are missing something. I feel like I'm missing something. Those are like the famous last words of everyone, potentially. I feel like I'm missing something. And then that movie has an amazing display of vocals. There's a lot of screaming, probably one of the most iconic screams caught on film when a tarantula gets put on his face. If you're screaming for a tarantula to be put on your face right now, go ahead and just raise your hand across all campus. Yeah, there we go. Tarantula on the dome, just like going insane. For sure, hitting my own self. I don't know, like, the after effect would be kind of gross, right? That's a gross mental picture of a smushed spider on your face, but whatever. Thanks for being here, everybody, today. So with that, and the craziness of the loudness of life, and the chaos that comes with missing something, forgetting something, whether it's as simple as losing your keys or losing your child, right? Like, there's a tipping point, and they're not all the same, but they still drive us crazy. We'll end up in a place where there's a lot of loud noises usually coming from our mouth, and we're just shouting, and we don't necessarily mean what we're saying sometimes, but we just explode, and our life does, and we do. I'm kind of a loud person in general, but it's because I kind of grew up around a lot of loud people. If you were to spend 10 seconds with my dad, you would understand where it comes from. And we're just loud a lot. It's not because anyone's mad at anybody. That's just the way that we grew up. That's just life. You know those people that are loud? You can point to them if you want to, wherever you are, because you're probably with someone that's not quiet. Here's how you can find them. They can't whisper. They just get real breathy. You know what I'm saying? Like if you try and whisper to them, they're same pitch, same loudness. They just get real breathy, and they think that's a whisper. It's not a whisper. So you know who those people are. But where do you end up? Okay, so life gets crazy. Everything gets chaotic. Loud noises begin to happen. What do you say to yourself? I just need some peace and quiet. I can close my eyes and I can see my mom, Rachel Lovinggood. I love you so much. I could see her saying it to herself. I just need some peace and quiet. How is your soul today? Are you experiencing that type of peace and quiet? Or is everything just so crazy and loud, and there's a lot of good things, but are you missing something? How's your soul in the middle of that? Because I believe today there may be some peace that could come into really all of our lives if we really understand where we are, where we're going, and what God has for us. Peace and quiet. Here's what the world says about peace. It's pretty cool. The world says peace is freedom from disturbance, a state or period in which there is no war. So there's a few things you need that needs to be pointed out with this definition of peace. This is most of our working definitions of peace. I think you would agree with me. Nod your head if you would. That'd be great. I can see you in Clearwater. Thank you for nodding your head, Scott Davis. Love you. So wherever you are, this is kind of our working definition, if you will. It's a place, I feel a little free, I'm not being disturbed, that's awesome. And then it's a period of no war. So really this definition is the absence of something, the absence of being disturbed, the absence of feeling controlled, the absence of a period of time, which is temporary, but still the absence of war. And it feels like peace may be ever fleeting, doesn't it? Kind of all over the place. There's hopes of that there's not going to be a war externally, and there's hopes that there's going to be a quietness even in my own soul internally, isn't there? There's a lot of hope there, and I love Tyler's message that he preached about hope this past week because hope is amazing, but where's the peace in the middle of what I'm hoping for? And so I want you to look at today maybe what God says about peace in Isaiah, because Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, God begins to talk about peace through the prophet Isaiah. And I love that. And maybe we just need to just quickly go ahead and think, okay, God's word actually talks about things that matter. He talks about things that are relevant. And we need to maybe not have opinions about what God's word says. We maybe need to know what his word says. Because we may be missing it on a few things. And there may be something that God's trying to speak to you right now that you're living in an opinion in the past, but the present, you were losing and you were lost. And I think it's an important thing for us to begin to open God's word for ourselves. So today we're going to begin with God's word through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 9, 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The first three words in this passage of scripture is amazing because the OG definition that we just used, that original one that we're all kind of working with, that's kind of in general, but we just got super specific with God's word. For you, for us, a child is born. For us, Jesus came to earth. For us, God is wanting to work in your life. For us. That is huge because that means that you're involved. And we all are when it comes to peace, in the peace that God is talking about and that God wants for you. For us. And as we understand a little bit more of what Isaiah is saying, he's saying Jesus is going to come and he's going to change everything because this is who he is. This is what he does. This is who he is. And as we look at his resume, a lot of us hope that we can live up to our resume and that we built on it, but some of us maybe we don't. And things happen in our life, in our past, and it doesn't really add up. Hear me. God doesn't necessarily have resume. He has things he's done, but he has things that he will always do because he never changes. He never wavers. He is consistent. He is the same today, tomorrow, and he's the same yesterday. He is always the same. So really we're looking at some characteristics of God, not necessarily what he's done or what he's going to do that's different from what he's done. And in this moment, we see he is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace is somebody who owns it, has ownership of it, and is the authority of it. In this context, as they were looking at like governments and they were focusing on, and the Romans were in control kind of during this time. When Jesus came, we can understand how he brought, but all of this was crazy because governments rise and fall is what I'm saying. But Jesus is always gonna have the plug on peace. Like, thank you for all the millennials in here who understand that. He is the place you go to find the peace that he is talking about, not the peace that the world's talking about. And right here, as he is the Prince of Peace, he is the official of it and the authority. And that's amazing because you can't get what he's trying to give anywhere else other than him because he's in control of it. Because the creator has control of it, of his or her creation. The creator has control of the creation. And the reason I use that is because we all understand we're all creating different things and we have somewhat control of whatever we create. Whatever she creates, she has some control over it. Whatever he creates, he has control over it. But with God, the creator, he has control over the creation. He is the authority of it. And I want you to look at what he describes the peace that he's going to bring us. Verse 7, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. So we can understand this. The peace Jesus brings is for you, and it lasts forever. That does not sound like the peace that the world talks about at all. So what's missing? Well, the Hebrew word that is used in this moment to describe the Prince of Peace is this, shalom. Destroy the authority attached to chaos. Now, that's different from the world's definition because that's the absence of war and the absence of something that's disturbing you. And this is now the presence of something that's going to meet your chaos head on, that's going to meet your darkness head on, that's going to meet your trouble head on. And he's going to remove the authority attached to it. This changes everything. Let me pray for us. God, I pray that this does change everything, that this moment right here wouldn't be words on a screen that people read and that they leave right here in this space. But God, I pray right now that as we gather together, it would be very clear where our hearts are and where our minds are. So speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus came. And in that moment in Isaiah, we're talking about him coming. Well, he comes actually at the end of what Tyler let us in on, 700 years of darkness. And over 700 years, you can imagine generation after generation kind of forgetting. Being quick to say, it's not this year Jesus is coming. It'll be the next maybe. Or the next. Or the next. See, I think that, and you and I understand this, we're good at getting comfortable in our own chaos. And it looks like really us, our eyes adjusting to the darkness. That's the physical picture kind of what happens with our own souls, with our minds, with our circumstances and situations. I really don't like the bottom step in my house because I feel like I lose my toe in the middle of the night when I feel like I've got a grip on the darkness and I'm in control and I'm on my way to the fridge and I feel like I'm on a good spot because now I'm full about 3 a.m. Happens to me a lot, actually. I'm really hungry kind of all the time. So I go to the fridge. My wife doesn't eat. She doesn't eat leftovers, and so they're for me. And so they're for me in the middle of the night. Duh, that's what we do. So I go down. I eat. I hit the bottom step 50-50 because I can't see it, but I know it's there, and I'm feeling my way through it. And honestly, I'm just a little weird because my left foot's a little bit bigger than my right. So my left big toe crushes it. It's really painful, but I think I can see, and I do it on a regular basis. And I'm really worried for myself, and I'm worried for us because I think we can, and I think I get so comfortable with darkness, so comfortable with my own chaos that I'm okay with being busy. I'm okay with walking through my circumstances and say, it was just the circumstance. That's why I had that thought. Or it was just because this actually kind of mattered this week. And so I'm going to leave the things that don't matter or that kind of matter a little more. I'm going to leave those on the back burner because I'm going to focus on something else. And I get so comfortable with my chaos that I don't even know that there's a way out. And Jesus has come. Jesus has come in Luke 2, verses 13 and 14. He has come, and as he has come, these angels have gone to these shepherds lying in a field, sleeping in a field. And he says, you guys need to wake up. You need to go see him right now. And then they say this, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. Suddenly, first word, all of a sudden today could change everything if you really focus and you really hear what God is trying to tell you right where you are. These words are not by accident, and I believe maybe even today, all of a sudden, you could be here and not want to be here or there, wherever you are, and not want to be listening right now to God's word, and it can actually change your whole life because you're living in the perspective of pieces just without some discomfort or just without some disturbance or just without war, but it's actually greater than that, and the chaos can be destroyed in your life because Jesus is now the authority of the chaos, of the authority, and he is going to destroy the chaos because he is now here. And in this moment, we see him come to destroy chaos because he brought an army with him. He brought an army with him, and it wasn't by accident because he was just a baby. And even just his presence in the manger was a threat to the authority of chaos. Because just his presence changed everything. Angel armies joined in letting everybody know there was peace on earth. Therefore, there doesn't have to be chaos in your life anymore. Because you can get to know peace. Because peace has a name. Let me show you where he is. He's in a manger. And today, right here, right now, God can be pleased with you just like you can be pleased with him because we are pleased with who we have relationships with. I'm excited for the people that say, Trevor, I'd love to be your friend. That's awesome. I need more of them. Let's be real friends. Because real friends are really hard to find. Real people are really difficult to surround yourself with because we want that, but they're really hard to find. In this moment, the realness of God with us came to earth so we no longer had to worry or feel anxious or be upset or live in this chaos and darkness that we are under, that we're not in control over. And we can have a personal relationship with peace. And it's our decision, just like with everything. You are not controlled. Nobody controls you. It's up to you to determine what you do and nobody else. That's why it's an amazing moment because when you step into a relationship with God, really, this is for everybody. He wants you to. And he gets excited and it pleases who he is when you decide to choose him. Why would we expect anything different? Because he actually wants a relationship with you. He wants you. I don't know when the last time when you were actually wanted, but doesn't it feel amazing when you are? Like Jesus wants you because he's for you. And this is for us. The gift of peace is for everyone who chooses to receive a personal relationship with him. This gift, it's not just this season, it's forever. And it's for everyone. And it's your choice to choose it, and he wants you to. Some of us would say, okay, that's awesome, Trevor. I can choose this, but what is this, like, what is this really about? Because I kind of want to not choose it, or I feel like I got to get my life together before I choose him. Well, let me just help you understand this. Peace comes in the middle of chaos is that God's talking about. The peace that God is talking about comes in the middle of chaos because the war that is within you actually can't be won without him. See, the peace is he destroys the authority of chaos. So if you want the war that is waging on the inside and in your life, you actually need him to defeat it and destroy it and cast it as far as the east is from the west. We will never experience the peace that surpasses all of our understanding unless we have the one who we can't fully understand, who has no beginning and no end in our life. See, I may not be able to fully understand all that God is and all of who he is because he has no beginning and no end, and I have a finite life and I have a finite brain right here among you, but that's okay because I don't need a feeling to help me understand who God is because I can know him. And it's time for us to stop walking through life being accustomed to the dark and being okay with it and to start to turn the electricity on that is Jesus so that we can actually see, because your feelings will fail you, but Jesus never will. See, I need to see. And we need to begin to see what's right in front of us when it comes to who Jesus is. And Jesus began to talk in John 14, 27 to the people he has a personal relationship with. And listen to what he says. This is beautiful. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Chaos is defined in this moment by being troubled or afraid. Are you? Is it well with your soul? Because when you have a personal relationship with Jesus and you let the authority of heaven and the authority of peace come into your life, he destroys the chaos. And therefore, your thoughts are no longer temporary and your heart no longer values what is temporary. But you now are of the kingdom of heaven because you have a personal relationship with heaven, and that is Jesus. You have a personal relationship with him, and it's not the peace that the world can give. By the way, the world doesn't lie about peace. So the world's not a liar in this moment. Like our working definition isn't a lie because it's what they can do. It's what the world can do. The world can't promise you eternal peace from the inside. The world can't promise you that it's going to be okay. The world can't promise you that another war is not coming. The world can't promise you that chaos is not around the corner. The world can't promise you that, so it doesn't. But Jesus promises you something that he can actually do. And it's peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's peace of mind and it's peace of heart. Why? Because it's the only thing that you have that lasts forever. That is your soul. It's what lasts forever because you last forever. And I almost missed it once. I almost missed it what really mattered one time. I was with my now wife, and we were in North Carolina, and she wanted one of those giant minions at the state fair. We went to the state fair, and we were dating at the time. We weren't married yet, and it was awesome, and she's so cool, and I love you, baby. Thank you for staying with me. And like... And in this moment, and she wants this minion, and I'm like, I'm an athlete, you know, like, I can figure this thing out. It maybe take me one or two tries, maybe three, but, you know, but luck's on my side because I'm an athlete. And I end up spending over $200 for a few hours trying to win a minion, and I'm sorry, babe, I'm going to make it up to you because Busch Garden has those games. I've been working on one of them, so... But, like, I spent over 2 hours just trying to win this game, and there was just so much. I was literally under the control and the authority of a minion that wasn't alive, you know, that I was trying to win. And we left. I had no more money. And as I look back on that, that's awesome that she stuck with me, but I, like, totally missed what mattered. Because she lived, like, 5 to 7 hours away, and we only got to see each other, like, once a month. And in this moment of time, I let some inanimate object have authority over me and lead me to a chaotic state of mind where I was going crazy, and I completely missed what mattered. And I wasted it. I wasted this time that I had with her, the one that I love. Are we living in defeat? Are we living in loss? Are we living destroyed, if you will, in chaos? Because if you are and you have a personal relationship with Jesus, you don't have to. Maybe you've left peace in your past. And you started a relationship with Jesus, or you're really good at leaving peace in your past because you leave peace on a Sunday, you leave peace on a Monday morning, you leave peace last month, you leave peace last year when you came to church one time. And like, that's okay and that's cool, but don't expect to have peace through a personal relationship with Jesus if you're not willing to see it grow. And in this moment, we can see that we can have it now. The peace that Jesus gives frees me now. Like right here, right now, I don't have to let those thoughts that are temporary keep me back anymore. I can live in freedom right here, right now, in the presence of God through a personal relationship with him. This can change everything. Now, all of a sudden, somebody's thinking about this. And you would say, Trevor, I may have a relationship with Jesus, or I've thought about it, but what do I really do? What is the practical way that I can stop living defeated? I want to encourage you to write down Philippians 4:4-9. And let me read it to you. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. It's time for us to really know who Jesus is for once. Because when you know who he really is, you can't stop getting excited about who he is. Because he wants you. He wants everything for you. Everything that matters for you. Because your mind is not thinking about temporary things only, and your heart doesn't value temporary things only. You think about what matters in light of forever. And this is beautiful because it's time for us to rejoice, really. And let our gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, what? And your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. When you go with Jesus, the peace you have will impact forever. It will. And if you begin to go with Jesus today, and I believe somebody is, if you believe in him, you start a personal relationship with him, and you go with Jesus today, chaos is getting destroyed immediately. Because your home is not here, your home is heaven. And we understand that heaven isn't heaven if it's not where he is, because he makes heaven. And right here, right now, this passage helps us understand that if we're not growing in our relationship with Jesus, if we're not putting what he's leading us to into practice, we can't have peace practically. Because our relationship with him isn't growing. Our relationship with him isn't going somewhere. So don't expect our peace to go anywhere with him. Because he wants us to have more of it. He wants us to know more of him. And he wants us to simply go with him. Because when your relationship with him grows, your peace grows. Because peace has a name, and his name with Jesus. Do you know him? Is it well with your soul? Peace and quiet comes from the inside out, because that's where it really matters. You matter. Think in light of forever. Love in light of forever. Live in light of forever. How's your soul? Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for what you're doing. I pray right now as your word soaks into our lives, that we would realize that peace comes in your presence, God. And it's a gift through a personal relationship with you. And it's meant to grow as we go with you through life. So God, thank you so much for who you are. You're wanting to do something deeply and gently with all of our lives. God, we may not be perfect, but we can have peace. So thank you for this moment and all you're doing. Lead us to know what we need to do next as we hear from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.